President Trump is proposing cuts to the EPA, and Wisconsin could lose tens of millions of dollars for water infrastructure. It's Wednesday, May 7th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, state legislators are looking for ways to address school districts' growing dependence on referendums. And a central Wisconsin county board voted to replace their elected treasurer with the person she defeated in the most recent election. Stay with us.
Music with more.
I take personally some heart when I'm at a concert and there's a symphony, and at the end of the first movement, you hear applause. That, to me, is a good thing because it means these are people who are fairly new to the genre. But, you know, if it's that exciting, it's a great thing.
Join Norman Gilliland for The Midday, weekdays on WPR Music.
Wisconsin could lose tens of millions of dollars for water infrastructure upgrades under President Donald Trump's proposed EPA budget. As Danielle Kading reports, he recommends cutting the agency's budget by more than half.
Trump recommends cutting EPA's 2026 budget by almost $5 billion. About half that would be stripped from state revolving loan programs that fund drinking water and wastewater projects. Chris Groh with the Wisconsin Rural Water Association says small systems rely on them because they can't afford costly upgrades.
They're taking money away, which is going to have to be made up out of the customers' pockets. So they would have to expect paying more for their water and their sewer usage.
One analysis estimates Wisconsin could lose $55 million. Last year, the state doled out hundreds of millions of dollars to 125 communities for water upgrades. The Trump administration says states should be responsible for funding those projects. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican lawmakers are poised to remove hundreds of Governor Tony Evers' budget proposals in a single vote tomorrow. The list of cuts includes Evers' proposals to expand Medicaid and legalize marijuana for recreational purposes. Madison Democratic Senator Kelda Royce sits on the budget committee. She said the vote did not reflect what the public wants or what lawmakers heard from constituents at public hearings.
I think this is about continuing to make the political point that whatever Democrats want, they will not do. They're not willing to negotiate. They just want to have it their way and start from scratch.
Other proposals on the list to get cut include the governor's plans to create an ongoing state-funded child care subsidy and to raise taxes on the wealthiest Wisconsinites. Republicans have argued the governor's budget was unserious because it would grow the government beyond the state's ability to pay. Wisconsin voters approved a record number of requests to increase property taxes to fund local schools in 2024. Corrine Hess reports that legislators are now looking for ways to address school districts' growing dependence on referendums.
The Senate Committee on Education is considering one bill that would require school districts to give an estimation on how much money a referendum will cost an average homeowner. A second bill would eliminate permanent operational funding increases. Kenosha Superintendent Jeffrey Weiss says his district was forced to go to referendum even after closing seven school districts and cutting the budget by $1 million. Voters turned down that request in February.
These bills around referenda questions are really treating a symptom. I don't want to lose my ability to go to the community. This really is our only lever. There are not another seven schools in the city of Kenosha that I can close.
Since February 2024, voters have been asked 210 times to approve operating referendums. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking people to avoid outdoor burning if they live in an area with high fire danger. The agency has suspended burn permits in 30 counties due to dry conditions. So far this spring, more than 650 wildfires have burned more than 2,200 acres across Wisconsin. The DNR is seeing more fires than average for this time of year. The agency says even a few days without rain can dry out grasses. That, combined with low humidity and variable winds, has increased the fire danger, especially in northern and central Wisconsin. Plus, there's no rain in the forecast for much of the region over the next week. The DNR is asking residents to avoid outdoor burning and campfires until conditions improve. The agency also urges those operating equipment like chainsaw or off-road vehicles to take extra precautions to avoid sparking any fires. People can check burning restrictions on the DNR's website. A Central Wisconsin County board voted to replace their elected treasurer with the person she defeated in the most recent election. As Joe Schultz reports, the treasurer says she has no plans to leave office.
With a 14-6 vote last week, the Adams County Board said County Treasurer Kara Dolezal's position had been vacated. They appointed her former opponent to fill out the rest of her term. Lawyers told the board Dolezal could no longer serve in the office because she was also reelected as treasurer of the town of Lincoln in April. Dolezal says she held both positions for 3 months after she took office with the county.
I probably wouldn't have run for re-election if this was questioned and we were going to take the right steps to get the right answer, right? I don't think one lawyer should be able to negate the votes of 6,000 Adams County residents.
A state lawmaker who represents a portion of the county told the board their vote violated state law. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, it's National Teacher Appreciation Week, and after the break, we've got a piece from Wisconsin Life celebrating it. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a family of educators. It's in honor of National Teacher Appreciation Week, which is this week.
Some professions run in the family. For writer Nancy Jorgensen of Waukesha, she spent her career as a teacher, just like her aunt and just like her daughter. She explores their vocations in this essay, Rebel Trio.
It was a Sunday afternoon in the 60s, so I sat cross-legged on the carpet in my grandparents' tiny Waukesha, Wisconsin two-story. Grandma towered tall in her apron and heels while Grandpa rested in his chair. Grandma's older sister, Aunt Bee, just arrived from the city in a tailored wool suit and pumps, clutching her shopping bags. Her name was Elizabeth, but we never called her that. What was in the bags, I was sure I knew. Every Saturday, Aunt Bee shopped at Gimbel Brothers Department Store. Every Sunday, she boarded the Milwaukee Waukesha bus. When she arrived at Grandma's house, she would lift a box from one of those bags and fold back the cover. Tissue paper surrounded each nugget of pecan, caramel, and chocolate. One turtle for each of us. In the 1920s, when Aunt Bee was young, 92% of U.S. women married, but she remained single. 80% of women stayed home, but she worked at Wisconsin Avenue School in Milwaukee, teaching children who called her Miss Newman, Rebel. One afternoon, Aunt Bee herded my cousins and me into my dad's station wagon. "We're seeing a marionette show," she said, and I heard anticipation in her voice. Was she excited about the performance or about sharing it with us? Maybe both. That day, as wooden characters skittered on their strings, Aunt Bee introduced me to the magic of live theater. With no children of her own, Aunt Bee heaped love on my dad and his brothers, my cousins and me, and each class of students. Then, one Saturday, at age 74, when she should have been at Gimbel's, Aunt Bee passed away. I was in eighth grade, unfamiliar with death. I couldn't know that 10 years later, I would follow Aunt Bee into teaching and raise her namesake great-great-niece, Elizabeth. In the 80s, when 70% of mothers were unemployed, I taught high school choir. "You should be home," some of my family said, "raising your daughters." I ignored them, taught note reading and directed concerts. Rebel. Every spring, I chaperoned students to New York City. "We're going to a Broadway musical," I said. Was I excited about the show or about sharing it with my students? Maybe both. I would introduce them to the magic of live theater. When my daughter Elizabeth was 8, she played Sprinza in my choir's production of Fiddler on the Roof. Each day, she joined my students and me for rehearsal. She learned songs, dances, and everyone else's lines. When the audience joined us, theater dark, spotlight on, she experienced the magic of live theater. I couldn't know that she would follow me into education and teach at that very high school. Elizabeth has taught creative writing for 2 decades now. In her classroom, the process trumps the grade. Students write not for a teacher, but publication. She could have taught a standard curriculum. Instead, she developed her own projects and presented them with passion. Rebel. Did Aunt B, Elizabeth, and I break traditions or establish new ones? Maybe both. Did we each have a calling or a genetic predisposition? For the last 50 years, the number of educators has gradually declined. The Bureau of Labor suggests reasons: a lack of prestige, stagnant wages, rising college costs. Is anyone trying to remedy this problem? With fewer men and women to lead classrooms, who will teach reading and music and science and math? Who will shepherd kids to live theater? Who will encourage budding authors to publish their poems? Who will be our rebels?
Nancy Jorgensen is a writer and educator who lives in Waukesha. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, let's get a quick check of weather before letting you go for the day. Mix of sunshine and clouds today. A little bit cooler than yesterday, but still not too bad, with highs in the 60s and 70s. Overnight, there's a slight chance for a little bit of frost in northern Wisconsin. Otherwise clear, with lows getting down into the 30s and 40s tonight. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Hey, if you like the show, please, please do leave us that rating and review so other people can find the show. Let them know what you think, and let us know what you think. Send us an email at newscasts@wpr.org. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.